This morning I purpose to conclude our short series from Daniel chapter 9. Our text for this morning is Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 20 and going to the end of the chapter. Daniel 9, verse 20 through 27. Indeed, a portion where we will find many of those treasures and flowers of which we've just sung in the inexhaustible storehouse of God's holy word. Let's ask him to bless us as we look at this portion. Father, let us find those treasures. By your Spirit, guide us. Let us take them and behold them and carry them forth and let them empower us and guide us. Father, cause us to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Cause us to be motivated as your word stirs up our affections. Cause our will to be resolved to follow you as we've never done before, as we see the wonders you have performed, the promises you have made, the glorious truths that you reveal to us in this precious book. Be with us now, we pray, by the power of the teacher, the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Once again, hear the word of God as we have it in the last section of Daniel, chapter 9. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your holy people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Well, as we preach and read and study through the Word of God, we want to touch upon and speak about those things of which the Scripture speaks. And so, by way of introduction, a few remarks about angels. The angel Gabriel is sent by God to give this answer to Daniel's prayer. Now, Daniel calls him a man, but we know that angels are able to appear in the form of men. Think of the angels that appeared to Abraham. And besides, Daniel says he was caused to fly swiftly. And I have yet to see any real-life men who fly. And we know that Gabriel appears in other portions of Scripture. So this is one of those holy beings, those angels of God. And perhaps the best commentary or statement that we could make about angels is that which the Scripture itself makes in Hebrews 1:14. Where we read, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" And so it is in this case. Gabriel is sent to minister to Daniel. Much is unknown about angels. They are many, according to the Bible, but only two are named in Scripture, Gabriel and Michael. And it's very interesting that Gabriel appears to Daniel shortly before these 70 weeks, these 77s begin. And he next appears in Scripture to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer, and to Mary. He appears to them as the 77s are about to end. But we'll have a little more to say about that later. But for now, let's consider the strength and the power of God's answer to Daniel's prayer. Thus far in the series, we've looked at how Daniel has been praying, how he made confession of his sin and his own sin, his sin and his people's sin to God, and how he made supplication to God. And in the midst of his praying, isn't it significant that he says while he was praying, he was in the middle of it. You know, I don't know, he might have had more to say in his prayer, but Gabriel was caused to fly swiftly and bring Daniel, the praying man, an answer to his prayer. And what a comfort and encouragement there is in this for us as we pray. Look at what it says in verse 23 as to why God sent Gabriel in answer to his prayer. He says, the angel says to Daniel, "I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved." How wonderful. God's answer to prayer originates, comes out of his love for Daniel. And so as we pray to God, we who are in Christ, we have great comfort to believe that God, who has told us he loves us in his Son, that he has accepted us and received us as children, that we too can pray and know that answers will come from the loving heart of God. We see the strength and power of God's answer in how it originated in God's love for Daniel, how it came even before he could finish praying. God, it's almost as if God was anxious to answer his servant's prayer. And we see how it came swiftly and powerfully at the hand of this mighty angel. Daniel's answer was unmistakably divine. And let's further consider the scope of God's answer to Daniel. Sometimes as we pray, our focus, our scope can be so narrow. But God gives an answer to Daniel that's above and beyond anything he could ask or think. God assures Daniel that he rules over all nations and kings and their times. That's what the rest of what Gabriel has to say is going to underscore. That God is the ruler of all, that he is the king, that he raises up and he puts down. And we've seen this in the book of Daniel previously. We saw it in King Nebuchadnezzar himself, how he was lifted up in pride and God brought him down. We see it in the golden statue dream of that king, which Daniel interpreted as referring to successive kingdoms of the world that would rise and fall. Paralleled in chapter 7, where we have the different beasts and how they represent the kingdoms of this world. God is in charge. God has a purpose in history. He has it in things that are of great scale and small scale. He has a plan and a purpose concerning great kings and kingdoms. He has a plan and a purpose for ordinary people in a small church. So God comes to Daniel and he's going to show him how he and his people fit into a plan that's greater than anything Daniel can imagine. We read through the book of Daniel and we find that again and again as he has these dealings with God, his reaction is that he's left without strength. He doesn't understand. The angels have to pick him up, so to speak, and help him. Because God, the scope of God's answer to his prayer is so great. Daniel was unable to comprehend much of the answer. And again, is there not application for us in that very thing? Sometimes it is so with us. We are unable to comprehend what God is doing or how he answers our prayers. We think he hasn't heard. Or we pray and it seems that the very opposite thing that we would desire occurs. Well, God is doing in our lives things far greater than we can ask or think. And it's often incomprehensible to us. I want to talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of the 77s, the 70 weeks timeline. Here we have divine foretelling with no gaps required. There are teachings abroad today that say that these 70 weeks have a gap between them and that the last week is yet to come, even in our future. Not only was it future for Daniel, but it's still future for us. Well, as with the creation gap theory, I think that gap is just arbitrarily put in there. It's not so that the final week is yet to come. Now, it's back to school time, and I want you to just, we want to take a few minutes now in this message to go back to school. I want you to put your thinking caps on and think through this with me. Think through what God, through the angel Gabriel, is saying in these 70 weeks. And let's start way back in Leviticus chapter 25. In the original language, the sevens are, doesn't say what type of time period it is. It just says 70 sevens. So we need to look at other scripture to determine what that means. We always interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. Leviticus 25, verse 3 and verse 4. This is in the law of God, and God says, 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the 7th year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. So we know there was the Sabbath day in the Ten Commandments, in the law, but there was also the Sabbath year. And as we consider biblical history, what we find is that the people of God had ignored that Sabbath year, and probably to a large extent the Sabbath day also, but they had ignored that requirement of the law apparently for 490 years. And that fits with a statement we find by the chronicler that under King Josiah, who was a later king of Judah, he says there had been no Passover in Israel like that Passover since the days of Samuel, the prophet. So we have a picture of God having given the law and the people almost immediately declining from it, showing once again that through works of the law, no flesh can be justified. We can never please God by works of the law in our own strength. So why the 70 years then? Does it kind of start to become apparent? It's explained in 2 Chronicles 36:21. I hope you're following here. I asked you to put your thinking caps on. In 2 Chronicles 36:21, we read that to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, this is why 70 years. God didn't just pick the number 70 years of captivity out of a hat. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. God's justice is exacting and rigorous. And one thing this teaches us, almost as an aside application, let not any one of us dream of living up to his standard of absolute perfection. And let none of us dream that God will simply wink at iniquity. In other words, God determined that the land itself would have its 70 years Sabbath that the people had failed to give it while they were living there all that time. So something begins to emerge here, doesn't it? After 490 years of descending further and further into apostasy, followed by 70 years of chastisement through the Babylonian captivity, now God announces 490 years yet to come until the full and final redemption takes place. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This 70 years leads us up to the coming of Messiah the Prince. And I'm just going to depend heavily on the outline I've given you at this point for some of the details of the 70 years. I would ask that you take this home and look at it. Be a Berean, look through it, maybe have some questions. Check me out. See if what I'm saying is accurate according to the Word of God. But we have Ezra 7 That's when this king Artaxerxes issues the decree of which the angel speaks. The first 49 years, the seven sevens, by the end of that time, the city and the temple have been rebuilt. The next step is not Jesus' birth, but his anointing. He is the Christ, the anointed one. Well, when was he anointed and set apart and made manifest to Israel? When he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And so, at about the year 26 AD, 62 sevens after those seven sevens, Jesus Christ, as Luke tells us, being about 30 years of age, is baptized by John. How long is his ministry? 3.5 years before his crucifixion, in the midst of that last week. The Messiah is cut off, but not for himself. And that was in about 29 or 30 AD. Precision. Nuggets of truth in God's word. I haven't depended upon human commentary for this, but looked at the word of God itself. Daniel foretold this by the angel who came to him, and he foretold much more in the chapters to come. He did all this 500 years before Jesus' birth. And that leads us to the core of God's answer. This is all about God's answer to Daniel's prayer. Well, what is the heart and soul of that answer? It is the anointed one, the Messiah Prince, Jesus. It is he who accomplished redemption. Don't miss this clear prediction of his saving work in verses 24 and 25. How was it that transgression was finished, that there was an end made of sins, that there was a reconciliation for iniquity? How was it that everlasting righteousness was brought in? How was every prophecy about the virgin birth and Isaiah's prophecy about the one upon whose shoulders the government would rest, and all that had been said about this coming king, when was all that sealed up? When Jesus Christ came. He is the most holy one that was anointed. And so it's very true, that simple idea. What is the answer to your problem, whatever it is? Ultimately, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer, the ultimate, the core answer that God gave to Daniel. He showed how the Messiah was to come, and not only Daniel's life, but all of history was leading up to that. God was going to bring about his kingdom. He was going to fulfill the promises made to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That all these beasts and the kingdoms represented by Nebuchadnezzar's statue, all of that would be crushed and blown away. But God would set up an eternal kingdom under this anointed one, the Messiah Prince. His accomplished redemption is the end of iniquity, the fountain of everlasting righteousness, and the eternal comfort of all who pray. He is the final word. And I declare to you on the basis of God's word that whatever your prayer is, whatever your problem is, you can find your answers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to conclude with another comment. We started with a comment about angels. I want to comment on another teaching that is popular today, and it all centers around the possible building of a physical temple in modern Israel. Any man-built temple in modern Israel and any Christless religion that might ever be practiced there is in no way a timetable or an indicator of our Lord's return. The Church of Jesus Christ is the third temple. Solomon built the first one. It was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Then the second one was built, and it was destroyed by the Romans. Is there going to be a third? Well, who knows? Maybe men will build a man-built and man-designed and man-purposed temple over there in the Middle East. But you, Church of Jesus Christ, you are the temple that God has built, the temple that will never pass away or be destroyed. 2 Corinthians 6:16. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You, the Church of Jesus, have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so God's answer to Daniel just beautifully brings all things together, all of human history, how Daniel fits into it. And so God's answer to our prayers, we need to look at his answers, look at his dealings in our lives, and understand them in the same way, that we as Christians are fitted into that temple, and that all things are fitted into God's purpose for history and for all things. That is God's answer to his servant Daniel. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the nuggets of truth that there are to be found in your word. Father, I ask that your people would take this and meditate upon it, consider it, that they would indeed be Bereans and check by the scriptures to see if the things that I have said are so. Father, insofar as this has been faithful to your word, seal it to your people's hearts and bless us with understanding, with growth in grace and knowledge of you. Father, let us be transformed as we gain a biblical view of your purposes, of what you're doing in this world, all summed up in Messiah the Prince. In his holy name we pray. Amen. It's our privilege this morning to observe the Lord's table. The Lord's table, communion.